This is Finis J. Dick of the Bible Research Foundation giving lectures on the book of Revelation, which will last for 3 hours and 20 minutes, covering the entire book of Revelation without notes or without a Bible, giving you the teaching of the entire book just like it is in the Word of God. First, let us notice the key to the book of Revelation. This is found in the first chapter and the 19th verse. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, that is, after the things which are. Now this really is the key to the book of Revelation. It will enable you to understand every so-called mystery of the book of Revelation. If you'll understand that the book is divided into three distinct parts. Chapter 1, the vision of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, as represented on this large 30-foot art-colored chart. Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, that includes chapter 1. Chapters 2 and 3 is the second division of the book of Revelation, dealing with the seven churches in Asia Minor, are all that Christ wanted us to get concerning the churches in the book of Revelation. And the third division of the book, chapters 4 to 22, the things which must be hereafter. Let us notice how simple the book of Revelation starts out. In the first verse, we read the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation literally means the lifting up of a curtain, so we can all see what's back of it. Anything covered with a curtain is naturally hid until it's unveiling. So the revelation is literally a lifting up of a curtain, revealing to men events which must shortly come to pass as stated in this first chapter. Now look how it reads. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show, not to hide from his servants, but show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. In verse 11, after John said he was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ, he said that he heard a voice, and being turned around, he saw Christ standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. That voice said these words to him, according to verse 11, "What thou seest, write in a book, and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John, I have appeared unto you to get you to write a book for me. What you see now, I want you to write in a book. I want you to make it so simple that even those folk down in Atlanta, Georgia, can understand the unveiling of the things which must shortly come to pass." I have all confidence that John wrote exactly what he saw, wrote about that, and gave a plain, simple description of what he saw. I have no right to question his word about it. Neither have you. He told us he saw this and he saw that, and he told us in what order he saw these things. And the only sensible thing to do for anyone is to believe that he is giving us a revelation of a series of events which must come to pass consecutive in order unless explained otherwise. So, the first thing Christ said to him, "What you see, you write in this book and you send to the seven churches." The rest of this chapter is devoted to show the vision of Christ as John saw him in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, having seven stars in his right hand, which are explained in verse 20 to be the pastors of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks in verse 20 are explained to be the seven churches. Christ had a girdle, and on that girdle were the keys of hell and of death. He had a sword coming out of his mouth. His countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His hair like pure wool. And his feet like fine brass, as if they had been burned in a furnace. He said, "I saw Christ standing in the midst of the candlesticks." So John wrote to the church and told how he saw Christ, exactly what he looked like on that occasion. There isn't anything possible hard to understand about chapter 1. simply an introduction to the book and how that he saw Christ and the description of what he looked like. Anybody reading plain English can certainly understand the first chapter, if that be the case. So there's no great mystery in chapter 1, that much is certain. As I say, in verse 20, we have the explanation of the seven candlesticks and the seven stars, which are the pastors of the seven churches. Now then notice verse 19 again, which gives us the key to the book. After John had seen this vision of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, he was told, write the things which thou hast seen. Write the things which thou hast seen. What did he refer to? He naturally referred to the vision that he just got through seeing of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. First part of your book now, John, I want you to record this vision. That's what he did. That's why you have it in the first verse of the first chapter of this book, are the first division of these three divisions of the whole book of Revelation. You notice the second division of this book now in verse 19. Write the things which are, that is, the things concerning the seven churches, which John wrote about immediately after writing the things which he had seen, after recording the vision of Christ in chapter 1. For in chapter 2, the first verse, he was told by the Christ, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. And he wrote seven short verses to that church, giving them all that Christ wanted him to say to that one local church at Ephesus. Then in verse 8, he said, unto the angel of the church at Smyrna, write. Then he wrote a few verses to that church. And so it went until he had written seven short epistles, or letters, to seven local churches which were in existence in John's day. Those seven churches, according to the map, were located in the eastern part of present Turkey, or Asia Minor. Right where these stars are on this map, there were seven cities called Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. In those seven churches, our seven cities, were located seven local congregations of believers. Seven churches. Those were the churches he was to send this book to. Now then, he said, write the things which are. That is, the things concerning the churches. As I said before, everything that Christ wanted the churches to get concerning the church truths, we find them recorded in chapters 2 and 3, in those seven short epistles. There isn't anything hard to understand about the second division of the book of Revelation, for it simply records seven short letters to seven local churches, describing conditions as then existing in those local churches. If you had been a member of any one of those local churches and would have read John's writing to the seven churches, particularly the letter to your church in that day, you would have had an exact picture of the conditions in your local church at that time. They are simply descriptions of true and actual conditions in seven local churches in John's day. If you cannot get anything more out of those letters than the fact they actually portray actual conditions in John's day, then get that much and forget all else. However, there is another application or so we need to keep in mind. For in verse 3 of the first chapter, we have the fact that this book is a prophecy. There is therefore a prophetical application to these letters. But I say, if you can't not get the prophetical application or the individual application, at least get this idea. Those letters actually portray true conditions in seven local churches in John's day. Prophetically speaking, those conditions portray general conditions as they will exist throughout this church age down to the time of the rapture of the church. Now then, as to the individual application, you'll notice at the end of each one of these seven letters, there is a promise to the individual overcomer. He that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. And he made certain individual promises to individual believers in every one of those local churches. So we can say these letters have a threefold application. They actually portray true conditions as then existed in seven local churches. They speak of conditions as they will exist throughout this church age as long as we have local churches. And then there is an individual promise to persons in local churches throughout this age that if they will overcome, then they will be the partakers of certain benefits. Now that's all I need to say concerning the seven churches. With those facts in mind, all you have to do is read each letter one at a time and apply those three ideas to the letter, and you will have a clear understanding of it. So there's no use to waste time with a long exposition of each one of the seven letters. Read them, believe what they say, believe that those letters actually were true pictures of conditions in each of those local churches. That's all you have to understand. Now then, as to the third division of the book of Revelation, we have in chapter 4, the first verse, after he had seen everything that he was to write about concerning the local churches as existing in Asia Minor at that time, John was told to come up to heaven and to see things which were to come to pass after the churches. To prove that, after he had written everything concerning the churches in chapters 2 and 3, the last epistle had been completed, he said, I looked, and lo, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice, which was as a trumpet, talked with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now that emphasizes the key to the book of Revelation and emphasizes the fact that the third division of Revelation will contain or does contain conditions and events which must come to pass after the churches. That's why we have the rapture of the church at this point in the fulfillment of the revelation. Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That is, after the churches. All right, we are to understand from that everything from the fourth chapter of Revelation, the first verse on, must be fulfilled after the rapture of the church. Thus, we take it for granted that the first three letters portray conditions throughout the whole church age, down to the time of the rapture of the church. And chapters 4 to 22 deal with events which must be after the rapture. Now, if you will accept that idea and apply that idea to the rest of the revelation, the book of Revelation will be automatically simple to you. It will open up very easily before you every time you read it. Now, remember this. From the fourth chapter of Revelation on, we are to have events described which must take place after the rapture of the church. Not a one of these events, therefore, should be brought back into the church age in which we now live. We ought to understand the church age will be completed, the church taken out of the world before the fulfillment of any event of chapters 4 to 22, especially before the events of chapters 6 to 22, which events will take place on earth. Chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation are descriptions of events in heaven. After John got up through that door into heaven, he saw a throne, and one sat upon the throne that was to look upon like a jasper stone. The person that sat on the throne had a book in his right hand, sealed with seven seals. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. There were 24 thrones around that throne, on which were seated 24 elders. And before the throne there were four living creatures, four beasts, as in your King James Version, literally meaning four living ones, coming from the Greek word zoe, which literally means living. So we are to understand these are four living creatures before the throne. They rest not day or night, but cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Those are angelic beings calling attention to God's holiness in the past, the present, and the future. He saw a lamb come before the throne. That lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are explained to be the seven spirits of God. That lamb is a symbol of Jesus Christ. 27 times in the New Testament do we find the word lamb used in connection with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So when we see a lamb in the 4th and 5th chapters of Revelation, as it had been slain, we know that's a symbol of Jesus Christ. That lamb came and took a book out of the right hand of God the Father who sat on the throne, and he began to break the seals. Now then, let's get this simple fact straight. Chapters 4 and 5 are not events that will take place on earth. They are simply a description of events as John saw them in heaven after he got up through that door into heaven, before he began to see the events that will take place on earth. So there isn't anything hard to understand about chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation. Just play like you had gone up through that door yourself and you were looking over John's shoulder. You would have seen exactly what John said he saw. I don't think we have a right to question him, do we? And say, now, Mr. John, I know you're a good man, but you certainly made a mistake on this occasion when you said you saw those scenes in heaven. I cannot go along with you that far. I believe nearly everything you say, but I can't believe that you could actually see such things as chairs and people in heaven and creatures like that. I just can't believe that. There's no need of taking that kind of an attitude. Since you didn't see it, John did see it. If you have any confidence that he is a truthful man at all, then why not take him at his word and say, all right, John, if you saw those things, I will believe everything just like you said you saw them. What is there hard to understand, therefore, about chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation? Nothing. The only thing you need to understand is that they are scenes of things in heaven before John saw the events that were to happen on the earth. Now then, to complete this idea of the key to the book of Revelation, everything from the 4th chapter of Revelation on to the 22nd chapter, therefore, must be fulfilled after the church is taken out of the world. Now, we won't have time to go fully into every one of these events, but as you read the Revelation, every event you come to is plainly described. He tells you what's going to happen. So just use your own intelligence and say, now, he said this is going to happen. He told me exactly when it would happen, and since I know what's going to happen, and I know now when it's going to happen, well, I'm not going to be confused any longer. So take each event as you come to it. Take each event consecutive in order, unless it's explained in the passage otherwise. So concerning all the seals, the trumpets and the vials, the witnesses, the two witnesses of Revelation 11, the sun-clothed woman, the man-child, the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth, the second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, all that. Just realize that those events must take place after the church is taken out of the world. Place them over there where they belong, and everything will be very clear.